and welcome to this episode of Space to Discuss, a podcast about everything and anything related to small businesses, whether it's chatting with those amazing people who run their own business or the experts that can help them achieve that, who also run a small business. This episode of Gofod I Drafod Space to Discuss is being sponsored by the enterprise team at Wrexham Glyndŵr University, delivering flexible online industry-applied short courses to develop your skills and support business growth. My guest today is Rachel Burgess from Rachel Burgess Bridal Boutique, a bridal boutique that encourages brides to do things their way. We're recording this on Diwrnod Santes Dwynwen, the most romantic day of the year for us here in Wales. Rachel joins me from Penarth. Hello and welcome, Rachel. How are you?
Hello. Happy Dydd Santes Dwynwen to you.
And to you, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you.
Good.
Now, the first question I would like to know the answer to is, how did your love affair with wedding dresses begin?
Oh, my goodness. It's hard to kind of pinpoint because it's always been there, really. So I've been a bridesmaid 10 times. I've been a best woman at a wedding, an usherette at a wedding. And I experienced then from being a bridesmaid a lot, going into a lot of bridal stores with my girlfriends when they've been looking for their dresses. And I definitely found that when they were on the search for that dress that represented who they were, that when they were going into these bridal stores, they were kind of, pigeonholed into two categories, either the ultimate princess or this very sexy kind of strategically placed lace kind of bridal, which didn't really sit comfortable with either myself or seeing my girlfriend's dress as this or them. And you could just tell in their whole body language. And I'm from Aberystwyth originally, and I'm a proud farmer's daughter. So I have no qualms with when I'm out eating, when we can eat out in restaurants. Obviously, we're in the COVID situation at the moment, so I look forward to those when we can go back out again. But I have no qualms with asking where the food on my plate comes from, because I've always been brought up that way, of knowing where everything is produced as such. So then when I was in these bridal stores, I would say, oh, can you point me to the British designers, please? Which section are those? And more importantly, where are the Welsh? Because we're known as being creatives here. But actually, I found that the response was, oh, no, we don't have any. A lot of our dresses come in from abroad. Or if you want something different, they kind of classed it as being that handmade was different, which I was like, well, why? That should be, in my head, the norm. It shouldn't, mass produced shouldn't be the norm. Handmade should be what we're all thinking about. They would say, no, if you want something different, then you've got to go to London, or you've got to go to Paris, and you've got to go to Barcelona. And I could just feel, I guess, my hiraeth and my fire kind of started to go, no, that is not right at all. We have the most phenomenal talent in this country, but nobody was championing them. So I moved to Penarth, and I was in a theatrical production. So I was a theatre stage manager for 7 years. So I taught musicals and that type of thing. And I moved to Penarth with my partner. And we met our lovely next door neighbours and had a glass of wine with them. And I think I had a glass of wine too many. And they said, well, what do you do? And I was explaining that I'm out on tour a lot, but I love weddings. And I said, and there's this beautiful little shop in Penarth that's got the most beautiful windows. And if that ever comes up for rent, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow my dream and own a bridal boutique that champions handmade in Wales. And my other half was like, wow, okay, you've never told anybody that before. And now you're just telling your random new next door neighbours. And I was like, okay, put the wine down. Anyway, then I went back out on tour and I got a phone call from this next door neighbour who said, that shop has got a poster in the window that said it's coming up for rent. I've knocked on the landlady's door. You've got a meeting when you're back in 2 weeks. And that was, the meeting was on the 12th of May, 2012. I'll never forget it. And I walked up to the boutique and knocked on the door and left half an hour later with the keys. And then I opened in that October.
Oh my goodness.
And the rest is history. When I first opened, we had two Welsh designers and now we're up to nine. And so we're 8 years in now.
Gosh, yeah, I was about to say you celebrated 8 years at the end of last year.
Yes.
It's been quite a journey, I imagine.
Oh my goodness, that is the right word for it. Absolutely. And do you know what? My goodness me, I love it every single second. And it's a complete honour, you know, to champion these designers, to work alongside such creators, but also just the women that step in through the doors. I'm like, oh, ladies, you're just rocking my world, because they're not sticking to any rules, you know, and I'm just so proud to have created an environment that my ladies, my girls, you know, my dresses, I call them my girls, that
they yes, are, I absolutely love that.
Oh, they've all got their own names, their own personalities, you know, and none of our dresses are mass produced. Each one is made completely bespoke for each bride. So every wow. dress that leaves is completely different to the next one, because some brides will prefer V-necks, some brides will prefer sleeves, some brides are like, get that back down or take away that train. I don't want 4 meters of train behind me, you know, and others are going, actually, can we change that to be an emerald green, or can we change that to be a purple? So every single dress is completely different to the next one, which is just amazing. But it's just so lovely to have created a space where you can see that people come in and they're like, oh, this is safe. Like, I'm not being told what bridal should be. You know, my sure. first question to them is like, well, tell me about yourself. You know, this is your day to represent who you are. Don't ever feel that you need to start conforming to what people think bridal should be, because what is that? And you know, we're women of the 21st century. We are also deciding to get married, so it's the most important day that you're going to be photographed the most you ever will be, and therefore you've got to wear something that A, you feel $1 million in, that B, is representing who you are, and C, for me, is comfort. I am so passionate yes. about brides being comfortable in what they're wearing, because I don't know, if you're comfortable in what you're wearing, then you just ooze this another level of confidence, as well as I want brides to eat all the goddamn food that they're paying for, and, you know, go for a pee by themselves makes me, I guess, as a bridesmaid 10 times very happy, you know.
Yes. Oh, no. Well, yeah, it does sound like you've been on an amazing journey, but also what you've been able to bring brides, because, you know, like you say in your first paragraph about bridal shops being very predictable, and
yeah,
like you say, there's one or two ways that you could go there. So it's really nice to hear that, you know, about bridal. But also, I think, you know, that comes across in your I follow you on Instagram, on your Instagram feed. It really comes across as though you just care about the brides and you want what's best for them.
Absolutely, I do. And, you know, I run the appointments. It's me in there. I don't have people working for me, or, you know, Saturday assistants or anything like that, because this is such an important decision. And whether that bride wants to come in on their own, then I will be their wing woman, I will be their bridesmaid, I'll be their mother of the bride. Or whether that bride wants to come in with her whole team, then I will be part of that, and I will help guide them through that whole process. Yeah, I absolutely love it. So I want to be there every single step of the way. And that's the reason why I named the boutique after, you know, with my own name in it, because I wanted people to know that they're getting me, they're getting my service. That's my responsibility. So I want people to walk down that aisle and people to go, my God, that is phenomenal. I have never seen anything like that before. So that is my responsibility, to make sure that that dress or jumpsuits or separates fit absolutely perfectly, but look phenomenal at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. Where do you find that most of your brides, how do they find you, do you reckon? Do they find you on social media? Is it word of mouth, or do they just know about you?
It's definitely, social media is an incredibly powerful tool. I would kind of use it or describe it as the window of your business.
Absolutely.
So what you put out there really does represent your brand, and I won't put things out there that doesn't sit comfortably within the brand or sit within the morals and the ethos and the principles of the brand. So that's really important. So interaction on Instagram is wonderful, and I love that. Facebook as well. When I first started, that's really changed, actually. When I first started, it was Facebook, but now Instagram is definitely taking over. I've not dipped my toe into the world of TikTok and things, because I'm just keeping on top of it as it is, yet alone adding another thing into the mixture. But also, I have to say, even though Instagram is incredible, word of mouth, it's old school, it's an old fashioned way, but my goodness me, it is incredibly powerful still. And what's just so beautiful is that I have brides that that came into the boutique 8 years ago, and they brought their bridesmaids with them to choose their dress, and now their bridesmaids are coming back, all cousins are coming back, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that is just
that's so lovely.
Because they just know that they know that what they're getting is different. They know that they are voting with their money, that everything is all handmade here in Wales. And that's incredibly important because, you know, these items have a significant price tag attached to them. Therefore, I want people to know exactly where that money is going. It's going into an independent designer. It's going back into our own economy in Wales. It's not going to something that's mass produced of somebody that you've never heard of before, you know. So that's really important. And it's just lovely to see the amount of brides that's important to them as well on their day, and it's an empowering thing. So as much as Instagram is wonderful for that, for getting your business out there and people seeing your imagery and the photo shoots that I'm involved in, I'm very particular with what photo shoots the boutique is part of. I get asked to be involved in a lot, but again, if it doesn't sit right with how my brides are, then it's not right for the boutique to be part of that, you know. Like my ladies aren't afraid to get out in the middle of a field with their wellies on and get completely covered in mud, so therefore I'm not going to do something that's an incredibly formal, you know. There's got to be this element of boho to it and things. So but again, that comes over time, that once you get to know the core values of your business, that comes over time of where you realize, oh, that's a brilliant person to work with because they sit in line with this, or actually, do you know what, their vibe is a little bit different, so maybe not right for me, but definitely right for somebody else. And that goes the same for the dress. I don't have the dress for every single person, but if I can, you know, give a bride an amazing opportunity to try on these incredible dresses and also just feel empowered in herself and go, yeah, I can do this my way, because so many people have an opinion as soon as a bride gets married, or as soon as they say they're going to have a baby or they're going to buy a house, all of a sudden everybody starts telling them what they should and shouldn't do. But if I can just provide a space that gives the bride the opportunity to kind of just go, no, this is what we're going to do as a team, then namaste.
That's amazing, and that's so nice to hear as well.
Oh, thank you.
Still talking about Instagram, do you use Instagram for your personal use, or do you just use it for the business? I mean, do you spend time on it otherwise apart from your business?
No, so I post little things, little clips of my personal life on that. I don't have my own personal account at all. And do you know what, if it wasn't for business, I might not have social media at all, to be honest, because I think it's very easy to go down a rabbit warren with it. And then all of a sudden you need a little reality check of going, hang on a minute, back to reality now, please. And I've got to go and do the grocery shopping or something like that, you know, which isn't that glamorous. But I definitely, you know, I say a lot about the boutique, about supporting handmade, supporting small independent businesses. So I would, for example, you would never see me in a Starbucks, you'd never see me in a Costa or anything like that, because I do not believe in voting with my money there. So therefore, I'm never going to post a picture of me going, oh, look, Starbucks Christmas mug or whatever it is in the drive-through, because I'm like, well, that goes completely against the whole ethos of what I believe in and what I stand for. Even though some people are like, oh yeah, but look at the, you know, look at that, it's a brilliant image, all the hashtags you can add on to all of that. No way, I can see straight through that. And it comes back to representing not just the boutique, but the way that I live my life is absolutely the same way that I will always make a point of going to an independent coffee shop, and I'll give them a little shout out, you know, on Instagram.
Sure.
Because when there's a Costa or an independent next door to each other, damn right choose the independent each time.
Absolutely, every time.
Yeah, and that's throughout Wales, you know. My goodness me, the community is phenomenal, and what we've got going on here is just so special. And you know, I'm speaking for myself that's based in Penarth in Cardiff. You know, I speak to a lot of people up in Manchester, Sheffield, Bristol, and they're like, my God, there's a special thing going on in Wales with the independent businesses and the support for each other. And I'm like, yeah, there really is. And I think we're absolutely paving the way. I think we're leading the way.
We are, absolutely. And, you know, it's the same here in Carnarvon as well. You know, you see it. It's Pool Street especially is full of small businesses and everybody supporting them, which is really, really nice to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So proud. Mm.
One thing I do really love about you is every morning you post a what you're going to do today list. Oh. And I love that. And you share pictures of some very, very delicious looking smoothie bowls.
Whee, I love that. Oh my God, it's absolutely ridiculous, Carol. And I love that you've clocked I do a little to-do list every day. I know you've mentioned it to me before. And
yes, I have.
I don't know. Do you know what? If you ask me why do I do it, I don't really know why I do it. It just feels right. And it's just my own little thing. I'm very... I like time management as such. And for me, it's coming back to that work-life balance. So I always start the day with some form of exercise, whether that be a dog walk, a run, like a workout or something like that. It always has to start the day that way. And then I always sit down and have breakfast. And my breakfast is never rushed. It's never something that was on the go, because do you know what? I used to do that and it wasn't good for me, because all of a sudden you get to midday and you've just feel rushed off your feet and that you haven't caught your breath. And actually, do you know what, just take that time for you in the morning. And also, you know, I think people think you've got to achieve loads in the day. No, you can achieve what is achievable in a day. And as long as, you know, that's why I love doing those little to-do lists, because it's for me is working out or doing some form of exercise in the morning, sitting down and having a lovely breakfast. And I post pictures of my smoothie bowls because, you know, I mean, it takes time to present them. And that means that I enjoy them more. If I'm just putting things on a plate, or if I'm just like eating an apple standing up, then I'm not really enjoying that whole, you know, what am I trying to say? I'm not enjoying the whole
experience.
That's it, of sitting down. And I believe that with each meal. Each meal is an experience. Each meal is like a little occasion, because that lunchtime is like, oh, well, that's my time now. You know, I'm not doing work at that point and I'm giving myself an hour. People that are work for businesses or companies, they get an hour. Then why don't I get an hour? Why don't I, as somebody that, you know, is self-employed, why don't I value my own time and to give myself that little bit of, right, I'm going to have a cup of coffee now and just zen out of work before I go back in.
Oh, absolutely.
So that comes down to the work-life balance thing.
Yes, it is. And yeah, no, I'm jealous every morning. They look delicious. And I just wish that somebody would make me some.
Nice. Keep dropping those hints, Carol. They do work.
Yeah, I am.
You know, there's also I wouldn't put up on, you know, on, there were some really, you know, private things as well that I'm like, oh no, that's really personal. So I'll put up what I want to share. But of course, there's got to be boundaries with everything, because
absolutely,
that's, you know, really important to cherish and look after.
Yes. I don't think we can do this podcast without mentioning what we're going through at the moment. And unfortunately, your shop isn't open at the moment, is it?
No, not at all. And that is something that I still can't really get my head around. The fact that, you know, 8 years, like we said, we celebrated the 8th birthday of the boutique last October. And I can count the amount of holidays I've had in those 8 years on one hand, and of course I wouldn't change that, because I absolutely love it. But then to all of a sudden be told that's it, you're not in now for 6 months, is something that's been incredibly challenging. Not just from a revenue perspective in a business, but also because of an emotional side, an emotional connection, and, you know, wanting to support my beautiful, wonderful brides throughout all of this. And, you know, I had a bride that came to collect her dress in March of last year, and she's rescheduled now 4 times. And I've never found so much love and respect for the word postpone in my life. And there are two sides to it, really. You know, there were the brides who go, no, I want those 160 people there, and I will not have that wedding until that can take place. And hats off to those women. They've handled this with so much grace and so much dignity. If they try and fight it, it starts messing with your head a little bit. But actually, if you just hold your hands up and go, okay, now is not the time to get loads of people together, no matter how difficult and challenging that is, we know that it will happen. We know that love isn't cancelled, and we always have hope. But then equally to the brides who are going, actually, do you know what? I never wanted a massive wedding anyway. I just got carried away with the whole rigmarole of it. And actually, they want just a really small, little, intimate, romantic wedding with just six of them. And then equally, those brides, if this is the difference, in Wales, you can do that in certain places. In England, yes. You can't at all. And that's what is challenging, is then you have families who are living in England who can't come to weddings in Wales, and then local lockdowns. That's when it all starts to get a little bit eggy and confusing, what we can and can't do. But yeah, so equally then, I've got the brides who are going, do you know what, I'm going to marry now because I want my name down in the history books together with my soulmate, and then we'll party later. But
yeah,
it is incredibly difficult as in the whole sector, the whole wedding sector and the event sector, you know, the fact that some businesses have just come to a complete halt.
Standstill, yeah.
Some people having to get other jobs to be able to support their families, and you know, a lot of people have said to me, "Oh, you must have had a lovely 6 months off." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Anybody that runs their own business knows this has not been off; it has been on to another degree. You know, because you are constantly supporting, you are constantly trying to reschedule things, reschedule fittings, dresses still being made, appointments need to be rescheduled, and just wanting to offer that support to your clients. So. But I think the big thing is that we need, you know, a roadmap out of this. Like I said, we're not calling for them to start right now because we know right now is not the safe time to do that. But what we need to know is there is a route out of this, and we need someone high up in cabinet to start hearing that, and so that we can manage people's expectations and manage our own business as well.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, whatever's happening now, you still have to plan for the future, don't you? And know what's going to happen 2 months down the line, 6 months down the line, you know?
Absolutely. And it just, the hardest bit is the not knowing, because then your mind starts racing and kind of you start thinking, okay, well, can I have 30? Or do you think by 2 weeks' time I'll be able to have 12? Does that include the photographer being there? Okay, what about the catering now? Ah, okay, well, those flowers that I really wanted aren't in season. You know, and it's like people having to constantly second guess everything, and that is emotionally exhausting for them. Sure. So I can't wait to get back and doing my thing and welcome my ladies into the boutique, because even when I could open, there's that little period of time that we had in like end of August, September, that I was like, we're back, but we're back in a very different way. You know, my appointments had to all wear masks. They were in on their own. They had to wear gloves so they couldn't feel the texture of the dresses.
I have
become, like I said, a bridesmaid, a mother of the bride, the wing woman to everybody that stepped in through those boutique doors. Again, that's suiting some people who've never wanted to bring people with them to an appointment. But for others who've been thinking about this time or who've been planning this for a very long time, who thought, no, this is my chance. I want to bring all of my girls together. I was there for them, so why can't I have that? And I get it. These are once in a lifetime opportunities that happen, these celebrations. And, you know, when people say, oh, what are the best things that happened in your life, you know, it's weddings, it's music events. It might be what someone experienced at Glastonbury or something. And it's like, well, these aren't happening now. And that is a very emotional thing to try and process.
It is. I completely agree with you. And I suppose it's for you personally, you miss the interaction with the brides when they come into the shop, because, you know, even though you're still arranging with designers and everything, you don't get that face-to-face interaction with the brides, do you?
No, not at all. And that's the thing that I just really miss. Like, I just love the women that come into the boutique, because they're so fiercely independent, and I learn from them every day. And it's just, you're in an environment where you're celebrating love, and that's incredible. The sad element that's than what we're living in at the moment is that there are some people's family members who unfortunately haven't made it through this, and now will no longer be there at their weddings. And that is that's really, really tough. But, you know, we keep holding on to that hope. We keep thinking, okay, this vaccine is on its way now, so that is a positive step. And we just keep, you know, each day, as I say, we're getting closer to be able to celebrating love again. And my God, we will. And to be honest, you know, when those parties start again, people are chomping at the bit.
Oh, yes.
So they're going to be a hell of a party when it does happen. But I have to say that my brides have handled it with so much grace and dignity, and I'm super, super proud of them.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's really nice. So I really hope in that respect that things like events and weddings and all the people that have been affected, that something will get done. Like you say, a roadmap out of it, some kind of timeline to see when, you know, everybody will be able to start working again.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a bigger perspective is that the, you know, if you want it as a United Kingdom, with regards to revenue, I think the events and wedding industry brings in something like £85 billion. Mm-hmm. It's along those lines.
Phenomenal, isn't it?
And I'm like, hang on a minute, but we've just been completely kind of what feels like pushed aside. And, you know, being kind of addressed as a non-essential. All right, I am fully aware there's more important things happening, but that's that I would not class as an industry as a non-essential. I think we are very much an essential part of people's chapters in their lives. So I just would like those little things just kind of being reworded ever so slightly, because I think it kind of doesn't fully reflect, I think, the emotions that are attached to a wedding.
No, I agree with you. Have you got a tip or two for those starting out in business?
Oh, do it. Absolutely. Do it. Otherwise, do you know what? If you look back and you think, I wish I'd done, you will always kick yourself. And, you know, there's never a right time to open a business. There's, you know, you will always talk your way out of it somehow, or somebody will, you know, say something. Whether I remember when I first opened the boutique, there was another bridal store which said, oh, she doesn't know anything, you know, she won't last 5 minutes. And now I'm proud to say, waving that flag 8 years later. So you don't have to know everything, because quite frankly, you never know everything. You learn all the time. But it would be, make sure that you believe it. Oh my goodness, you need to believe it right deep down in your core, because there are times when it is hard, and there'll be times where you're working late, or you think, do you know what, I just can't make dinner at that point, you know, until that work-life balance, until you start really working that out, there will be things that you have to sacrifice. But oh, if that moment where it clicks and you go, I've got this, I think I know what I'm doing, and then you kind of feel like, oh, hang on a minute, I'm learning something else there today. But it's the best thing in the world, and I can't recommend it enough. But you've got to have the dedication, the commitment, and the want to do it. But make it happen. No one else is going to do it for you. And there's a lot of people going, oh, if I had a business, I would do this. I'm like, cool, crack on, do it then. I don't believe in that term that good things happen to those who wait. I think good things happen, you know, to those people that get off their bums and make it happen.
Thank you very much to our guest today, Rachel Burgess. Join us next time for another episode of Gofod I Drafod, Space to Discuss. This episode of Gofod I Drafod, Space to Discuss was sponsored by the Enterprise team at Wrexham Glyndŵr University, delivering flexible, online, industry-applied short courses to develop your skills and support business growth.